Odie's Diner was a little blue building on the east side of town. It sat right up against the mountain off the parkway. There were a few 18-wheelers parked across the road in a church parking lot. Inside, truck drivers sat at the counter, and miners and farmers sat littered about, catching up on the gossip before heading out for the day. Near the jukebox, a couple of elderly men were drinking coffee and arguing over whether the president knew what he was doing or not. A plump blonde of about 30 popped through an open door and stood behind the counter. She flashed a smile. "Howdy, Sheriff. The usual this morning?" He smiled and pecked on the counter display case. "Of course, and I'll have one of these fresh donuts here." Then she noticed me. "Can I help you, ma'am?" "She's with me," the sheriff said. "Whatever she gets, put it on my tab." "Sure thing," she said. "What'll you have?" "Coffee," I said, "with lots of cream and sugar." The waitress nodded. "Best country ham you ever sunk your teeth into." Sheriff Ransom smiled. "And she's having one of them great big old donuts, too. I'm not getting fat all by myself." The sheriff made a hand motion, guiding me toward a small room in the back. The table booth sat beneath the window. Colored glass bottles lined the window sill, and from the window I could see the side of the mountain. "Nice view," I said. He laughed. "Yeah, the side of a mountain. I like mountains." "Have you ever lived anyplace else?" "No, you?" He nodded. "I've lived in 13 states and 3 countries." "Holy cow, why?" "My dad, bless his heart, was born and raised not far from here. He decided to join the army when he was a young man. Made a career out of it, which meant he moved a lot. I was an army brat. My dad was killed in action. Died trying to save some buddies behind enemy lines. Army made sure we were well taken care of. Mom got homesick and brought us back here. I've been here ever since. Well, except for an occasional vacation. Speaking of which, I've got one coming up soon, and I can hardly wait." "And your wife, is she from here?" "Louisville. City girl in every way, but not in a stiff, stuck-up kind of way. More of a fun kind of way, meaning she'd never seen a cow milked or didn't know what a crawdad was." "Does she like it here?" He stirred his coffee. "She used to." There was something in his voice that made me uncomfortable. The way he sat in silence for several moments. He looked like he wanted to say something, but didn't. "Not much happening around here today," he said. "For me, that's a good thing. Nobody feuding over property boundaries so far this summer. Crazy lady down at the golf course finally quit throwing balls through people's windows." "Really?" I said. "Yeah, happens every summer. Finally, I told her that I'd lock her up if she did it again. I hate to, though. She's 87 and on a walker." I stirred my coffee and imagined an 87-year-old woman on a walker throwing golf balls through the windows of unsuspecting people. "You're making that up," I said. He shook his head. "Afraid not." I took a sip of coffee. "It's going to be hot today." "Without a doubt," he said. "Can I ask you something, and you won't get mad and throw coffee on me or hit me with a donut?" Here he was, being nosy again, just when I thought I might like him a little bit. "You can ask me anything you want to," I said, "but I can't promise whether I'll answer it or not. It depends on the question." "Okay, fair enough. Really, why did your mother name you Cupcake?" "If I had a dollar for every time someone asked me that, I could buy China," I said. I looked away from him, across the room to a table by another window, where a big blonde, an overly bronze tanning bed junkie with a cigarette hanging out of her mouth, sat. She sported dark roots at her crown and tattoos all down her arm. She wore a low-cut spaghetti strap top that failed to cover her midriff, which hung out over her tight cutoffs like a mushroom over a stem. Her feet, which I could clearly see, because she had her long, tattooed, shapeless legs stretched out in the aisle, were clad in flip-flops and toe rings. I took a sip of my coffee. I tell you what, Sheriff, you tell me why that woman thinks she looks sexy in that outfit, and I'll tell you what was going through my mama's head when she named me Cupcake. I looked back at him, and he stared at me. He laughed. When he got his composure, he said, "Okay, I get it, I get it. Sometimes we don't really know why people do what they do." "It's not easy," I said, being called Cupcake my whole life. "But I've learned to live with it. People always look at me the way you did the day Cookie and I showed up in your office." "What way is that?" "Like we're crazy." Why was I telling him that? He was disarming. He probably didn't have to interrogate anyone. He probably smiled at them and gave them that look he was giving me with those eyes, which I now realize seemed too compassionate and caring to belong to a man in a uniform. A look that made a person want to spill her guts. I knew why I didn't like him. He appeared too human, too down to earth, for the way he looked and the position he held. Maybe if I just didn't look at him. He must have read my mind because he looked down at his plate. I didn't mean it that way. "It's all right," I said. "I'm used to it. But Cookie, her childhood was a nightmare. In school, kids made our lives miserable, especially hers. It was the jocks and preppy girls. You know, the popular people, the pretty people." "Kids can be cruel," he said. I shrugged. "Sure, but they learn it from the shallow adults around them." "So, are you saying that you think I'm shallow? Insincere?" I looked at him for a moment. His warm, dark eyes held some sort of a challenge, maybe. "I don't know," I said. "Are you?" He smiled. "Does it matter?" "I don't know. Does it?" "Can I ask you something?" He nodded. "Why?" "Why? Do you mean why did I want to have coffee with you?"